God is consuming fire. So that fire will cleanse you if you're not afraid of it. That's why he puts you through the fire. So when you come out to the other end, you know, you come, you know, better than you went in. But that's not the end of the story. You might have to go back again and again and again. But remember, that's all God doing it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We really, from the bottom of our hearts, for choosing us, for justifying us, sanctifying us, filling us with the Holy Ghost. Father, we are so in debt with something that we cannot even pay, Father, but we sure appreciate what you have done. And we ask you tonight, Father, to anoint me, Father, not only me, anoint the congregation, the hearts, so they can receive, Father, from you tonight. Father, I will move out of the way, but I want you to use me, Father, for your glory and your honor. Father, we love you and we thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Let us read before we sit down from Zechariah and from Revelation. It says, in that day, every time you find in that day, that means today. I mean, it has consequences, not yesterday, it's just a double fulfillment, but it has implications today. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses, it says, holiness unto the Lord. And the paths in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yeah, every part in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And that's my title tonight of this Bible study preaching. Call it preaching Bible study. It's going to be holiness. And all that sacrifices shall come and take of them and seated therein. And in that day, second time, there shall be no more the Canaanites, you know, in the house of the Lord of hosts. Meaning there will be no impurities. God will not allow anybody that is not fit to be in his service. Hittites, Canaanites, I don't care, you know. It won't be no place for unholiness. And Revelation 9:11, and I saw heavens open, and behold, a white horse. It says, and he that sat upon was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he that judge and make war. 19:12, his eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He says, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. Revelation 19:13, and he was clothed with vestures deep in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven follow him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treated the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. One more. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Ain't you glad? You can be seated. I like the specials tonight. You young people, you bless me. You've been a blessing. Not only that, you're getting to be a good-looking group. I don't know how you do that. I'm a good ugly guy, and you're getting good-looking as time goes by. That's not fair. Like our pastor was saying, fair, you know, what's fair? The only fair that I know is the county fair that we have every year. That's the only fair. Anything else, it's up and game. So, like the congregation are singing, and thank you for blessing us tonight. I mean, it is your service. And I'm glad that you decide to participate. And create an atmosphere so you can be blessed and everybody can be blessed. Not so much the young people, but the not so young people. Amen. Holiness. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Holiness. And we've seen a song, holiness is what I want. Righteousness is what I think it goes that way, what I need. And I'm right, Sister Victoria. Where are you? I'm right? Okay. So I'm kind of, trying to take your place, but I won't. I can read, but I cannot sing, so don't worry. Righteousness, is what I need. And we sing that song. This morning we sang, holy, 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 holy to the Lamb. And we saw creating me, a clean heart. Amen. We sing all these songs, but do you know what you're singing? The Bible says that you sing with understanding. Right. We're not here just to sing. Because one of these days, we are going to give an account of what came out of our mouth if we don't know what came out. And I don't want no surprises, What if you said that if you're not doing it? See, you need to know that is have to, that, and that's what I want to give you, an understanding tonight of what that means. And let's jump right in it. Let's say why are we going to do this? Brother, what do we need to learn this, What is your purpose in doing this? Well, let's go through the verses that I just read. Zechariah 14:20. And in that day shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the paths in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. See over here, bells that they used to put in horses, I guess. Must be in those days that was a custom or something. But anyway, This bell, there were bells, that every horse will have. And when they are, touring around, moving around, it makes a nice music sound. Yeah. I mean, it keeps the horses occupied to, relax, hearing the music. As long as they hear that music, everything was okay. That's the reason. And everybody was in the same cadence. I mean, it must have been something to hear and to see. Remember that they also put bells on the knee, pomegranates on the knee of the high priest when he goes once a year. And those bells better be ringing. Because when those bells stop, there's no more holiness. Something went wrong. So this horse is the same way. It represented that. That, as long as they were moving and making a joyful noise, everything was okay. Holiness unto the Lord, and praising and having and rejoicing. So, out there in the desert in Jerusalem, like here we have desert, we have some nasty, critters like snakes, spiders, we got scorpion, everything that has an S on it, I hate, I don't know why. Because it looked like a snake, ready to. So those bells were put on the horses too, so that if they encounter some kind of a trouble, that bell will go out of cadence with the other ones because that horse is going to be jumping and trying to get away. So that's how they knew if there's any trouble ahead or behind or in the middle. See, they kept them safe, the sound, and the same thing with you and I. And the high priest, as long as that bell was sounding, everything was well, everything was all right. Well, you had to worry was when you don't hear no sounds. And our life too, we should be rejoicing. to be joyful, having joy in the Lord. Amen. To be walking with the Lord every day, and the day that you don't hear that, you be worried about it. Right. What is the joy?
Right. Yes, sir.
You know, you lose the joy. That's what happened to David this morning. You give me the what? Return to me the joy of what? You know, those bells that stopped sounding for David. I know he was worried. Something had happened, and we know you heard the preaching this morning. See? So he has to do something. He has to do something. So let me continue. I don't want to spend too much time in one place. The second is talking about the utensils in the house of God. Even something as simple as utensils, they had to be also clean. They had to be holy. I mean, God did not miss anything. God don't want a second hand. One don't want just leftovers. He was the best. All those utensils were silver and gold, pure. And no, you know, marks, no stain, nothing on it. It was pure gold. It has to be that way. Because God requires cleanness and sanctity. God requires holiness in everything that he do. Why? Because God is holy. And his people has to be holy.
Right. Yes, sir.
He says, house like all the utensils. You know, I remember one time that two of the sons of Aaron, what happened to them? They offered what? The wrong what? Sacrifice. I guess they wanted to take a shortcut. Bring those balls, bring that incense, you just mix it all together. Nobody's going to even worry about it. Nobody can see it. Nobody's going to know what we did. But the Lord's, so they offer a strange sacrifice. And what happened? They die. The Lord, he says, and the Lord sanctified himself on them. And I always say, how can the Lord sanctify? I mean, he just killed them. How that can be a sanctified? Well, because they were doing what God didn't ask them to do. They were doing something against God, being disobedient. They detached themselves from God's, you know, order and process of things. And God has to redeem himself more or less. Because if he let that go, so he had to sanctify himself again. God, he says, he sanctified himself on that. So everybody will know that God is holy and you cannot just get away with everything. See? God sanctifying himself on that. So, the utensil, I mean, God took care of the very small little details. Okay? So, utensils of the house. So, God is implicating here with that example I gave you that God wants us to be sincere. He wants us to be serious and he wants us to be fervent. If we're going to serve the Lord, those three things better be there.
Right.
Listen, we're not coming just because.
Right.
Let me not get too much ahead. So, Hebrew, we heard 12:14. Follow peace with all men. Why? Why I'm preaching this? Follow peace with all men. And what? That's a conjunction, right? Peace. And holiness come together. I can imagine if I'm at peace, you know, I can fulfill the other one. But one of the both has to be there. If you don't fulfill one, the other one is not. So if you're not at peace with yourself, those bells are not ringing. If we are going to the world, to school and work, and there's something that is off, you know, and you're wondering, God, what are you doing with me? What is this happening to me? You know, and you're walking, and maybe things are not stable anymore. And settled. You know, what's going on? What all this is happening to me? Well, let's look at, you know, how sincere are we, and how are we living our life? Holy life, consecrated life, clean life, pure life, and we are living at peace with all men. So without, and this is the kicker here, because without, which no man shall see who? The Lord. How many want to see the Lord? Peace, holiness. Peace and purity. You know, your life has to be pure and holy, consecrated to the Lord, just like utensils and everything in the temple. I want to see God that day. So I better pay attention, young people. You better pay attention at what God is saying. Not me. You came, and this is the will of God. And you came to hear the will of God, right? Not mine. I ain't got none. So pay attention. Pay attention. Follow peace with all men and holiness, that without which no man shall see the Lord. So this is more, I guess, important. I want to use another word. This is more, I will think about it, but follow peace. So we need to cultivate among ourselves. Because this gospel is called the gospel of what? Peace. So if it's not peace, there's nothing wrong with the gospel. There's something wrong with us. Because if we are living this gospel, we should be at peace with us, with God, and with man. So if we're not at peace, something is off. Something is not ringing right. You know, the people that are not at peace, they're unstable. And you know why they're unstable? Because they are trying to decide between two thoughts. Right. And James said, a man that is like that is not stable. Right. You know, I already got one thought. And that's the word of God. Any other thought that comes against that word of God, you know, we arrest it. See? So I'm not a stable person. Where do you think I come to church for the last 50, 30 years? Not because I'm special. Because I got one thought in my mind. And it keeps me stable. Nobody had to tell me, do you want to go to church? No. You know, you're not in the car, you left behind. You know, my children, they didn't ask me, today, Wednesday, today's church? No. No. Get in the car. You know, get in my truck or whatever I had, you know. Let's go to church. Why? Because I only had one thought and one only thought in my mind, and that was to obey and please the Lord. You see people unstable come today, don't they? Why they're unstable? There's two thoughts. You cannot serve mammon and you cannot serve God at the same time. You're going to love one the other one. But I love God, and I tell you right now, whatever it takes, this is what I want to be. Because I don't have, I'm not a stable person. In fact, I'm faithful. Just like the scripture said about faithful and truth. And we should be that way. It should not be no struggle. Should I do this or should I do that? What is the Bible said, young people? When you struggle, that's where you build stable. And that's where the bell stops. Cultivate peace. This is the gospel of peace. At least be as far as you possibly can. Be at peace with everybody. You know? Some situations are not that way, but you don't have to get all, you know, into the situation. I mean, you ask somebody to forgive you, they don't want to forgive you, but you went as far as you can go. You are fulfilling the scripture. I ask him, but, and that's fine. You move on and you pray for that person. And holiness, peace with man, and holiness, it is the state of continual cleansing. This is not just, well, I came to the Lord and he justified me and he sanctified me. And that's not the end of it. That was the beginning of things. Because this is a not only a one-time deal. This is every day. Young people, you have to. And not as young people, we have to make sure we take advantage of coming to church. Because the only thing that will cleanse you is the word of God. You see how I don't understand what people, how I'm praying God will give them a revelation of God. This is God's program, and he has something he wants to do. This is not for me to show up and you to show up, and that's it, and I look good, and I dress good, and I got a long, you know, dress, and I have long hair, and I got a long face. That don't work. This is to, we have joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. You know, we don't come here because we are, push, or pressure. So continual cleansing. You said, but I thought God already saved me and the blood of Christ took care of that. Yes, he did. But remember when Christ went to wash the disciples' feet, he told Peter, I need to wash your feet. He said, no, not me. He would not do that. No, Christ, who am I? Peter, I'm just so and so. And all the mistakes that I have made, I'm not worthy for you to do my feet. He said, if I don't wash your feet, you will have no place in me. Oh, wash me from the top to the bottom. Why? Because even though you are cleansed, when we go out there in the streets and in our walk of life, at your feet, in our walk of life, going to work, going to school, and then we kind of rush our shoulder with evil, and all the people in Walmart, not that the people in Walmart are evil, but, we walk in Walmart, and we see these ads all over the place. We hear the music. You young people, you get bombarded all day long with images. In your YouTube, in your phones, in your lap. You don't know how much you get bombarded. Not only with that, even when you go out there, I go to work, the billboards. I used to drink. And I will admit it, I used to do all the things, but I'm not going to tell you all the juicy parts neither. I used to drink. And it was refreshing, a cold beer. Sorry, young people. I got a point for this. And I'm not trying to salt, Coors, all of that stuff. Why are you smiling? Coors. Anyway, so when the Lord saved me and cleaned me up and took all those desires away, listen, I didn't have to do nothing. I remember when the Lord came into my life, I wasn't even in the message. Yes, he called me in from the world. Raw, I was raw. He called me in, and the first thing I noticed within a month that I had no desire for beer and smokes and women's and nothing. He took all that. And I don't know how it happened. Because I hadn't even thought about it until I just found myself not doing those things. He will cleanse me. He started cleansing me without me doing, trying to worry about it. Well, I'm glad sometimes, when we come to the Lord, we don't know what we're going to get anywhere speck, because sometimes if you have a predetermined mind or somebody has talked to you, then we start thinking about that. But when we come to the Lord, we don't know anything. So the Lord can work with somebody that is not damaged, good damage, at least in the sense of a message believer. We are damaged out of the world, but sometimes we come from another places where people had just damaged goods, message damaged goods, and it's harder to do that. But I'm glad I wasn't touched yet. So I was raw, but I was not touched yet. So I didn't have no predetermined thoughts. So things started disappearing. And I said, wow. But after 30 years, in this walk with the Lord, I came to Tucson. So hot here. And you're trying to find a place to cool off. And I saw those big boys with the beer on the glass, and the glass is sweating cold. So it took me back. See, you need to be careful because you come to the Lord, Satan don't stop. And you are walking, every day at school and the phones and all that. And he knows how to entice you because he had enough time to study you. Even though you came to Christ, I don't mean the battle is over. The battle for your soul is still, and you have to guard yourself and you have to watch what you're doing and what you see and what you hear. Because he knows how to entice you. There are spirits out there, sexual, all kind of spirit to entice you. So what happened? I said, oh, man, I didn't have no desire for beer, but, Satan always tries. I give him an A for trying, at least. He tries, but he can, because God is greater than he is. And that's just one example, but I just wanted to bring the point that just because you even got the Holy Ghost, that don't mean that it will be a picnic from that. In fact, the fight just started. And you got to guard your eyes, what you see. You have to what you hear, what you touch. You have to watch and guard yourself. Don't get in a situation that Satan can have an opportunity to entice you. See? Let me leave that there. We just continue. So, a state of continual cleansing. So you got to pray in the morning. You got to seek God. You got to do those simple things, you know, and take care of the small things, you know, like the utensils. You take care of the small things. God will make sure he takes care of the big ones. But you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. You know, walking the fence make no sense, boys and girls. You know, how long will you ride the fence? Not here, not there. Sooner or later, that fence is going to run out. You're going to fall sooner or later. And I hope you don't fall to the side where Satan is enticing you, because sin will take you further than you want to go. But you have to get up on that fence. You cannot have a foot in and a foot out, or serving two masters, or love the world and love God. Won't work. You have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. And if you want to go any further with that thought, you don't want to ride the middle. Because the Bible says, because you're not hot and you are not cold, see, what? I will what? Vomit you. So, riding the fence is not good. Either you decide to serve the Lord and get hot for the Lord, or just go to the world. God, don't do that, please. But I'm saying, that's the choices. At least God can deal with you, because if you are son and daughter of God, God will put you somewhere, you in the world, God will put you in some situation that he will get you back.
Right.
But if you had, well, he will give you more.
Right.
So don't write the fence, don't write the middle, make a choice.
Right. Yes,
sooner or later, you have to make a choice.
Right. Amen.
1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God. How many came over here to know what the will of God is? And you too. Young people, I know everybody are there, but you are the young people. Even your sanctification, your consecration, that you should abstain from what? Fornication, sexual, you know, thoughts and things. For this is the will of God. Clean yourself from that stuff, he says, because that is your consecration. You need to be separated from the things of the world, including sexual vices. And 4 said that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. This is my vessel. You got yours. But you need to learn how to possess it. You thought this was just a picnic? We walk in a picnic? You know, the whole journey is for you to possess yourself.
Right.
You're your worst enemy.
Right.
God will give you everything that you have need to do that. In fact, he already had given it to you. Everything you had need from here to heaven is already in you. But you must make the decision. I'm going to possess. I'm going to possess this piece of dirt. See? His vessel in what? In sanctification. And in what? Oh, no. You wanted to know why I'm preaching this one? This is what I'm preaching this. This is the why. See, you have to keep your bodies, control your body, come to a point that you can control your body and your mind to the point of sanctification, of cleanliness, of purity. This, listen, my friend, I'm going to read it later on. The whole journey is for you to possess, you know, everything that God has given you. And this is not going to make it. So let go. Let go. This is not going to go anywhere. It's going to die and it's going to go to the dirt. Why should we fight so much to hold on to this thing? The carcass. Consecrate yourself. Walk. Be obedient to God. This is his will, he says. You know, and in honor. You know what honor means? Reverence. Respect to God. When we come to church, where we are, anywhere, whatever you do, it either brings honor or dishonor to God. But you have to walk in respect and honor to God. Not only that, but in cleansing yourself every day. you know, of anything, impurities. You know, it's a lot of impurity out there. I told you, seeking you and looking for you when you go in the darkness. It says, not in the lust of your concupiscence, even as a Gentile, we know not God. 6, that no man be go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Well, he threw something else here for us, right? Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forwarded you and testify. He already sent a letter, I guess, somebody to let him know. Anyway, defraud. You know, that's a word I use in business. You know, you defraud businesses and people. But this is more, a little bit more than that. You need to give people the right to whatever. You cannot just chunk, cut, you know, stop somebody from having their rights. That's what defraud. So I'm bringing that, and I'm glad he talks about it. Nobody should stop you from coming to church because that is your right. Now, don't get mad at your mom and dad. They're going to get mad at me, but don't worry about it. I can handle it. Listen, you have the right to come to church. You have the right to serve the Lord. You have the right to do those things. And no one can defraud you from that. So parents, and I know you are here, get mad at me. But that is your responsibility, to bring them in the, you know, the word of God, you know, in the admonition of God. So I tell you this, forget about your parents. Listen, if your parents are too tired and they can't bring you to church and you want to come to church, you call me. And if I can get you, I get one of the deacons to get you. I get somebody. Because nobody should truncate the right that you have to come and worship God. You know? I don't care if you live in Phoenix. We figured that out. Even if we had to fly you. And you can stay with me the weekend. I don't know if you're going to like that one. But listen to me. Parents, it is your right and your responsibility to bring and never cut the rights that they have to come to church. If you are tired because they're weak and something happens and you cannot come, your car broke down, and listen, if you don't have a car, don't worry about it. You know, you don't have a friend that have a car, just call me. Anyway, you might not like my driving, but I take you. I drive like a mad Puerto Rican in Puerto Rico. So if you want to take the chance, I bring you to church. If you want to know how I drive, you ask my wife. She's been with me for 50 years. And what I don't like the most about her is her pointing finger every time I do something wrong. Watch that. What are you doing? It's 55 miles an hour. You go. Oh, my goodness. But she keeps me sanctified. Thank God. That's why wife are here, to keep us in line, brother Mark. I'm just so grateful for my wife. God gave me. I wouldn't want nothing else. I'm satisfied. It says, "Not defraud, despise no man." See, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit. So don't try to make somebody like you or because it's not doing what you're doing, you know. Maybe your spiritual life is here and these other young people is here. Don't despise them because it's God that gives the Holy Ghost. And God knows what he's doing. Pray for that young person. Encourage them. Don't cut this is right to come to church. Don't despise them because God is the one that takes care of these things. I'm going too fast for you. Are you getting all this? 1 Thessalonians 4:8. Oh, okay, 7. It says, "For God had not called us unto what? Uncleanness, impurities. You know, but what? To what? Holiness. That is God's will. And that's what he called us. So we must try the best we can to live a clean life. Not only the body, we're going to see in a little bit, but also the spirit. Because there are some things that you can commit against your body, sins. But there's some other ones that you can commit against your spirit. We pick that later. So, for God has not called unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That is your calling. That is my calling. Do you want to fulfill God's purpose in your life? That is your calling. And if you don't have no calling, that is your calling. To live a life that is pleasing to God. You say, well, but I'm young. Probably I can. I wait until I get old. How do you know you're going to get old? You know? I was 30 years old almost when the Lord finally got hold of me. But you don't have to wait until you're 30 years old. But brother, you see, you enjoy life. You did all this. Enjoy life. What do you know about enjoying life? The only way you can know that, if you're my age and you can see all this stuff, you still don't even know what's in front of you to call enjoyment. But continue living a life and with purpose. And that purpose is keep yourself from being defiled, clean. So when you come to church, it's an offering, you know, to God. And God will be pleased. And God will bless you for living that kind of a life. Romans 6:22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants. See, at one point, I was a slave of Satan. But I'm free now. But I'm a slave of what? Of God. And that's a better boss than I had before, I tell you. You know what my boss we had before? He took me around like a puppet. And I had no choice. But now I have a choice. I prefer to be a slave of God, and he don't treat me that way. But being a servant, he don't even treat me as a servant. You know, I like to hear the same words that he told Abraham. In that day, when he sees me, he says, good and faithful, you know, you are my friend. Yeah, right. I like to hear at least those words, I am your friend. Right. What about David? Oh, David said, man, after my own heart. See? I want to hear those words. Oh, man, that would put me in cloud nine. You know, you are a man after my own heart. Because he has a pure heart. And I have to have pure thought, a pure life, as much as I can. Avoid any wickedness. Avoid any sexual. Avoid, you know, we have to fight. And I like to hear those words. In fact, even Jesus, I would like to hear. I would be so stunned to hear, you know, this is my beloved son. That I am what? To abide. Please to abide. I like to hear those words that day. Well, even if he says, come in, that's good enough for me, you know. I made it, come in. But how many of you want to hear those words? That God was so pleased with you that he will say, I am pleased to abide in you. Because God do not abide in dirty vessels. God do not abide on uncleanness and impurities. He likes to abide in a pure, holy vessel. And that's what he wants. So are you going to give God the liberty to live in you? Live a clean life? To please God, not to please me, not to please the pastor, not to please the church. To please God. Romans 1:3, I'm going to tell you here about who are we talking about. Romans 1:3 says, concerning the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. See, Paul is talking about concerning his Son. He's trying to preach the gospel in a few words, and I liked it. He says, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we was made of the seed of David. I mean, he went way back there according to the flesh. He says, wherever all the prophets have spoken about him, wherever his birth, he says, his in the next verse, he says his birth and his resurrection, his immaculate birth, you know, clean, pure. That was clean and pure. Yours were not. But all that, all the way to his resurrection, there are resurrection and ascension. Paul says, Jesus Christ was made the King and King of Lords. He inherited the throne of David because he was the one that was prophesied to be the one. So he had the right, you know, to do that. Why? Because the life that he lived, pure and holy all the way. And his death and resurrection showed to us that everything that he spoke and everything that the scripture said was correct. That's what Paul says. From beginning to end, he has proved to us that he was what he said he was. Amen. Amen. So I went to Acts 13. Because he declared to be the Son of God. Listen to what Acts says 13. God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children. I like that. Just hold on to that. He has fulfilled the same. Paul is saying, he has fulfilled the same. What same? He said, in that he had raised up Jesus. Also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son. You see, this day I have begotten thee. He has fulfilled the same unto their children. Now, listen, 34. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, God, now no more to return to corruption. I like that. One of these days I'm going to have a new body, not corrupted body like this one. He said, on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. So you know how this morning our brother, pastor was preaching that he committed sin, adultery, fornication. He broke the commandments, more than one. He also murdered. He also committed a crime and all this. And what did the Lord do? He said, he forgave them. He says, you know, I forgive you. You're not going to die. Now, listen at the mercies of David. Because the verse 13, I told you, God has fulfilled the same unto us. Not only unto David. God sent Christ so he can save us from a life of sin and destruction and all these things. So he did the same thing he did to David. He forgave us, which you deserve to be dead. Just like David. But thank you for the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. The same God that can do that yesterday will do it today and will do it forever. I love God. Amen. I will give you the sure mercies of David. And that's all I'm going to talk. Your pastor, if you want to know more, just go and link this to the message this morning. So, concerning his son, he's trying to, Paul, connect the gospel that relate to everything from beginning to end. And he shows that his immaculate conception, he was pure, spotless, perfect, holiness. He was clean. And he says, I will have a bride without a spot and without what? Because he will not join nothing else but that, holiness.
Yes, sir.
See? But he will do it in you, in you, in you, in you, in me, like he did it with David. He will keep you clean. He already promised you that he will do it. All we had to do, make the choice to walk into it, just like Jesus walked all the way the scriptures that spoke about him.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me. And he proved himself that he was the seed of the royal seed. As far as we know, he was. He is. See? He is a rightful heir of that throne. He said, if you don't believe my words, if you don't believe what I'm saying, believe, you know, what is happening, you know. If you cannot believe my word, look at my works. They testify of me. And that's what Paul said from beginning to end. And God has already testified of you. See? From beginning to end. And he will accomplish that he wants to do in you. All we need to do is separate ourselves, consecrate ourselves for his work.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And stay away from impurities, uncleanness, thoughts, or in the body, you know. Romans 1:14 says, and I declare to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. Now, the Spirit of holiness is the Holy Spirit. But he declared with power, mighty power. He's talking about that he raised God from the dead. That was quick and power. That was energy. That is in you too. See? According to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. We had the same hope. See, we had the same quick and power, the power of God to raise you. I will lay my body, but I will also raise it up.
See?
That is the power that God has for his children. Just not only to live a clean life, but at the end, eternal life. Power. The resurrection of Christ manifested everything and proved everything that he said he was. And our life will prove exactly what he meant. You know, it will prove that he is in us by the things that he will express through us. You know, but for that, we have to have a clean vessel. We do that in an unclean vessel. So, 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore this promise, see, dearly beloved, let us cleanse. What promise? We have to go and look at it because it's in the chapter before, previous to this one. We have to go back to a few. It says, having this promise, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. If you got this hope, you cleanse yourself. I didn't say you're going to make mistakes and error. I haven't said that, you know. But he already made provision for that. He says, flesh and spirit. Now, I like this. Perfecting holiness. You know, sometimes we preach a lot, and I did preach a lot until I found this word. You know, the fivefold ministry is here to bring you to perfection. But you know, as you go to perfection, something else is happening. And it had to show. See? Maybe the growth, you know, in a kid, you can see it in a child because it starts growing physically. But in a Christian, you cannot see that grow. I'm already grown and old. I'm not going to grow anymore unless I'm going to grow to the sides. But, you know, I start growing up. So what I'm saying is the only way you know that I'm growing is if my actions, my work, if it's matching the life that is in me. He says, cleanliness, holiness, perfecting, until you are completed. See, all you go into this journey is to take you to a complete cleaning. Do you know what that means? That you will be just as pure as Christ was. Because we didn't start being that pure, but God is going to take us, not only perfecting us in the sense of growing, you know, like the Ephesians 4 says, that's true, but it's also another thing happening. As you going into this journey, you know, your soul has to prosper, you have to prosper just as your soul's prospering. And that's what God is. And you have to prosper as God is a holy God. Your life should be holy and more holy and prospering until when you get to be grown up, we can see the fruit of holiness.
Yes, sir.
See? So if you're still struggling with some things, don't worry about it. I'm not, you know, I'm saying ask God to take it. Ask God to clean you.
Yes,
because the evidence the evidence that you are growing is how pure and clean your body and your mind is getting.
Amen.
You know? Are we still looking at bad things? Are still we being enticed to hear the wrong things? Are we reading the wrong things? You see, as you move forward to maturity, holiness has to increase. You have to be perfected, because God will not join something that is not pure. So what do you think God is doing? God is, the purpose to bring you to complete holiness. And that is your measurement of how good you're doing. And like I told you, I have a lot of desires, but that don't mean that God took from me when I started this journey. But I'm not done, because the devil still entices me. See? But I see in me a growth, not only in the Lord, but I see a growth in my holiness, my life. As I go, and the things that I used to battle 10, 20 years ago, now I have overcome. I got victory over those things. Why? Because I'm growing holiness.
Yes, sir.
And if you used to say bad words, or you used to lie, or whatever it is, guys, you know, one day you find yourself, wow, I haven't told a lie in about a week, whatever. Well, I haven't done this. And you're going to be surprised, like me, something is happening. Because God has to work holiness in you. If He's going to join you, you cannot do it. But if He's going to join you, He needs to clean you up completely. He's not going to join a prostitute. He's going to join a virtual, you know, pure, holy wife. So that work started already. That purpose started already when you started the journey. That's why He gave you the Holy Ghost holiness, the Spirit of holiness. It's a cleansing going on. See, that's what this topic. It's not just, I mean, oh, I'm ready. No, it's a process. And this is called a cleansing process, perfecting holiness. So you know where you are by how you see your life progressing. Not doing those things that I used to do. Overcoming those thoughts. Overcoming all these things that I used to do. So you can realize something is happening. Wow, I love God, you know. But that don't mean it stops there. Because maybe you are fighting like me. You're not, but that me right now at 75, I'm fighting some stuff that I never had when I was a young man. Because it wasn't time for me. And I wasn't mature enough. Because I thought when I get old, things get better. No, it just the sin become more sinful. But of course, I got more experience in this walk. You know, I have learned a few things. I have grown. And that's what's helped me to overcome in this last, at least, years of my life. But you got to get there, you know. And you will. But that's what is important, that you start right now. Don't think that, okay, I just do what I'm going to do when I get there and the Lord's come, magic, oh, you're done. No, that don't work that way. The whole journey is for us to please God. Now, having therefore these promises, what happened to the clocks? And I didn't bring mine. Okay, don't tell me what time it is. Okay, it says, having therefore these promises, and then we're going to read them right now. And these promises are for those that are going through the process of cleansing, perfecting. God is promising something for you. Let's go to the chapter, the end of the chapter, 2 Corinthians 6:14. It says, having therefore this promise, be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion had light with darkness? You heard this many times. Listen, Brother Brown tell you, the message tell you, don't marry a girl or a boy unless they have the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes, I've seen it many times. I'm sorry, I'm taking time. I've seen it many times. You know, a boy gets falls in love with a girl, likes the girl, and that boy is a message believer, and he brings her into church, and I've seen it many times. She gets cleaned up, God will save her, and he goes out. I've seen it many times. Oh, the other way around, I've seen it. Don't be, because, you know, the boy says, if I bring her to church and she gets saved, and maybe then I got a chance. Who told you to start doing plans? You're not the planning making guy. God is the one that had the plan, the main plan. And even if that was true, you don't even have a certainty that that is going to happen. So what happened? The girl gets saved, and the girl, and then he don't want him anymore because now he wants somebody with the Holy Ghost, and the boy don't have the Holy Ghost. Because if he had the Holy Ghost, he would not do that. Don't be on joke. Okay? Boys watch those girls out there. And girls watch the boys. You know? 2 Corinthians 6:15. And what conquered had Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believed with infidels? Okay? And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? See, he's telling you these things are happening, but if you cleanse yourself from these things, you know, sometimes an idol could be your car, or an idol could be your work. Anything that gets in between you and God that you can come on Sundays or whatever, you know, because I'm tired of working all week making money. So what is money? Is your God now? I prefer to have less money and be happy to have a lot of money and be angry and sorry. It says, You are the temple of the living God. It's God has said, I will dwell in them. Now, this is the promise. If we stay away from all these things and do what's right, it says, I will dwell in them. Because God cannot dwell in an impure vessel. Even if you're a Christian and doing this thing, God cannot help you. God will detach himself. The dove will take a flight until you make it right. We'll dwell in them, promise. We live right, God promised that he will be in me and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. So he promised you that he will be with you throughout the journey with all this walk. Just clean your vessel clean so he has a place to be. That's all he's saying. No, don't do those things that, you know, as young we do. Well, all people do it too. I will be father unto you. I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters. That's what he promised if you live the kind of life that he wants to see. And I will walk in them. You know what that means? God will express himself through you in your journey. And everybody will know that you are, you know, a Christian, a genuine Christian with a clean vessel, because God will not manifest himself in the dirty vessel. He will detach himself from it. But if you walk in his will, he said, I will walk in you. So you didn't even have to worry about you take the next step. He will lead you. He will guide you. Because he says, I promise you, you just keep yourself and I will walk with you. I will be your father. For those that are fatherless, that's your father. And for those that have fathers that sometimes abuse their children, that's your father. Because that's the kind of father that you want. So let us clean ourselves. See, avoid things in the spirit. Things that are opposite to the doctrines of God, to the word of God. Because those things tend to pollute our soul. This is a battle for your soul. Right. Satan is after your soul. Right. And you must keep that soul. Amen. So don't let nothing enter. The eye affects the heart. What you see will affect your heart. Right. If you stay alone enough, sorry about you. Like our brother was saying this morning, a woman is halfway naked. You saw it when you park and, you turn your face because your eyes can affect your heart. But he says, let us cleanse our soul. So another way you can cleanse your soul, you know, is the word of God. Make sure you keep that word of God in your mouth at all time. The word will cleanse you. In fact, that is the best weapon God gave you to keep you. Yeah. Right. So keep that word right in your mind, in your tongue. Amen. and all those impure desires and unholy thoughts. Now, don't get me wrong. Satan will put unholy thoughts and impurity thoughts, but that's Satan. But you don't have to entertain them. You are not, I mean, he will tempt you. God will actually let him tempt you. But temptation is not a sin, as we heard so many times. So when he puts some impure thoughts or puts something in your mind, you look at something and something, thoughts come in, that's okay. That's okay. You haven't done anything. But yeah, you have to choose something. And you're going to choose to close that gate. See, the man is the gate. And he told Abraham, you shall possess the gate of your enemy. You are in control of the gates. Satan cannot force. Satan cannot create. Satan can do nothing. He's just a bluff. So this is what happened. It is you. You got the power to make that choice. And that's not God's choice. That's nobody's choice. You got the power to shut the gate. But it's you have to make that call. To tell Satan, not today. And as you walk with the Lord, you close that gate and you protect. Because that enemy wants to get in the gate of your mind. Because God chose the heart. That's what he wants to get into. That's where all things come. He says, Satan has no power. Yeah. You have to allow him.
Amen.
So, we cannot be, we could be in continuously battle, you know, for our souls. That's why you, this walk is continue. Listen, I sometimes when I go home, I'm so drained because, you know, you go out there and all the things. I mean, you have to ride like this and, you know, the eye, the mouth, and the, I mean, because Satan knows, you know, this is your sensories. And sometimes when I'm home, I'm overloaded. My sensories are all overloaded. I had to run to my room or run to the shower and just pray. And that happens to all of you. You are there in the world, you know, more than you're in church, actually. But I'm glad that you came to church because you need to take these opportunities that we are giving you. God is here, and God wants to teach you, and God wants to clean you, and God wants to perfect you. God wants to do a work in you. But look at what we're looking at, you know. You spend more hours out there than what you spend here. But that means that God is more powerful than the God outside. I'm so glad.
Amen.
It's greater.
Yes,
it's better
than
the one outside.
Amen.
So, what time? I don't have no time. What time is it? Anybody? Don't be afraid.
7:28?
Okay. Give me 15 minutes. And this used to work, you know. I'm going to have to bring my own watch, my own iPhone, I mean, whatever. An iPhone I and a phone for a phone, I don't know, something like that. I just made that up. Anyway, I should coin it. No, that's right. Listen, I want to give you an example quickly, and I'm going to close. Let me see if I can do it in 20 minutes. Give me half hour at the most. And this is how things work. I don't know. Ask God, you know, some after all, I'm just a vassal. I'm just a yielding to God. But the sample is David. He used the sample this morning, David. And, you know, this seems like this is part 28b of his message. You know, it's a continuation of his message. You know, he talked about this more about cleansing and all this stuff. But I didn't know he was going to preach all that. You know, God changed. This is not what I was going to preach. When I started working, I had another thought and suddenly, now, okay, so he gave me all this. So we thank God because God knows exactly what he's doing and what you need.
Amen.
I don't. Yes, I think I do, but I don't. So, David, let me go quickly because how are you going to do this? How are you going to keep yourself clean? How are you going to have a chance to do these things? So, if I don't give you how, then you're going to try to guess, well, clean, clean. How am I going to be clean? Let's go to Psalm 119:9. And we're going to go from 19 to 16 quickly, hopefully. I try to make not too many comments, but here we go. Psalm 119:9, where with how shall a young man cleanse in his way? Or how a man can keep his ways clean? You know, how can a young man keep his ways pure? And that's what you want, right? And well, that was the whole key of my sermon. How can you keep yourself pure? So I'm going to give you, David is going to give us, get David a man after God's own heart. He's going to give you some answers here. How can a man keep his soul? First thing, by taking heed, pay attention to the word of God, according to the word. Amen. Ain't that simple enough? It is hard to do. And this is where we come, to learn, to be taught. Amen. So how can people keep themselves on the way clean when they are not getting clean? By the word. See, that's why our brother come and his crow was clean and then when we live here, you know, it says, heed the word, pay attention, you know, to the word of God. When we are preaching, you know, it's not me, it's not your pastor. Pay attention to the word coming forward to you. Yes, take heed to that word. Yeah. Let it fall in good ground. Let it bring fruits. Hold on a minute. I had a verse. I must have skipped it or I must have just forgot about it, but I wanted to. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me return to Romans 6:22. I read it, but I just kind of passed me, but the Lord reminded me to go back. But now, being made free from sin, you've been saved, you know, from that sinful life, like me. He says, and become servants of God. I read you that now. This is the part that I wanted to emphasize. Ye have your fruits unto holiness. The word of God will produce fruit unto what? Holiness. So when you come and we preach the gospel, it's going to produce fruit. Sometimes we talk about the fruit and the tree, and if it's not giving fruit, we chop it down and we talk about the nine fruit of the Spirit. But this is something that your life should give out to. A fruit of what? Of holiness. So as you progress, like I said, and you move forward and you in this life, we should see some more and more and more the fruit of what? Holiness. Okay. Let me go back to where I was at now. Sorry. I wanted to emphasize that because that's what the word we do. That's why we had to come to church. See, so that seed, the word is a seed, so it can fall in your heart and you can have fruit unto holiness. Amen. See, cleansing. 119:10. With my whole heart, not halfway. Don't come to church halfway. Don't come to church with one foot in and one foot out. Either the whole thing or nothing. Amen. David said, when you come with your whole heart. Don't leave half a day and bring half to church. Commit yourself 100%. That you are going to be here, that you're not so much because I'm telling you somebody, it's because you love God and you want a word. I need that word. If I want to make it out of here, I need that word until I'm done. He says, you must cleanse, is what he says. With my whole heart I have thought thee, you know, not halfway, not midway, I meet you midway, but if you do this, I do that. No, Lord. I seek you completely with all my heart. Do you think that if people will take that approach, you think we stay away from church? Because if I seek God with all my heart, what to do? This is what I be. You have no other choice but to please God. Oh, let me not wander. See, that's what happened to people that are trying to, you know, between two thoughts. They wander. Right. And that's why I said, should I go to church? Should I not go to church? Should I go to church? I'm sorry. Should I not go to church? Or should I do this or should I do that? Should I speak to my brother? You know, I speak to my brother. I don't despise him. I don't hate him, but I don't know if he's uncomfortable. Yeah. Satan, you know, give you another thought so you can, you know, get off, you know, your balance. So wondering, you know how the children of Israel, they wandered for 40 years. I don't have no time to be wandering for another 40 years. This is almost over. There is no more 40 years to wander from thy commandments. I don't want to wander from your word. See? Stay with the word. Roll your heart, seek him, inquire, long for God. You know, if you're going to come to church, don't wander. Just get all your being into the service, you know, your mind, your soul, your body, wholehearted. Enter into his atrius. Don't let the Satan play that wandering thing from his word. And he says, I have tried so hard to find you. And he said, I seek you with all my heart. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. See, what are you seeking tonight? What else is to be seeking? But just commit our life completely to the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, let's look at this right quick. Talking about his whole heart. All his affection must be engaged when you come to church or when you live this kind of life. If you want to get to the end, listen, Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are from where? From above. That takes care just about everything. See? Second, so I'm telling you, how can you be cleansed? Seek his word, seek all things from above, where Christ seated in the right hand of God, 3:2, Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things where? Above. I don't care how much you love your girlfriend, your boyfriend, it's God first, period. Not on the things of this earth. You know, we go on vacation, we do vacation. I'm not talking about that, but to do on Sunday something that you could do, the, like our brother pastor said, or the rest of the week. Where is your affection set at? If people will understand what we're talking about, what God is talking about, they will set their affection to be here and not any other place. For ye are dead. So that means you don't have no thought coming to you. You have another mind, and that is the mind of Christ. Your mind is gone. At least I want me to be gone. So there's only a space for one thought. And if we are not taking God's thought, God don't, you know, it's going to detach himself. The Spirit is going to go and let you have your thought. But see, young people, you cannot lead yourself. We all went astray like sheep. You cannot lead yourself. You need someone to lead you. That's how God made the whole thing. God's ways is the best way. It's the perfect way. Your way, my way, the highway. You cannot lead yourself. So surrender to God anyway. For ye are dead and your life is hid in Christ in God. So if you're in Christ, how can we do things out of Christ? It's only saying, how can we live a life that is Christ-like when we are in Christ? You cannot do all that, but do that. That's all. If you let God and the mind of God be in you. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, one of these days he's going to fully manifest, but not until we get to that perfecting holiness. He said, then shall he also appear. Brother Doug preached about this, I don't know, last year. He must take care, okay? Take care of yourself, of the path, of the journey, the purpose. It is you that need to put all your affections. Psalm 119:11. Thy word hath hid in my heart. Your people, if the word only stays in your mind, it will do no good to you. David is saying, I don't want the word here. I don't want intellectual, and I don't want fanatism. I want the word to be in where? In my soul, completely. Because that is the only way that you are guaranteed that he's going to lead you and guide you. He said, and David knew that. I will have it in my heart that I may not what? Sin against thee. He had hid his word in his heart. He treasured that word like a treasure stored in his heart. You know, when you have $1 million, we were talking about $1 million. If I had $1 million, I would find a place to hide that thing. I will be my personal secret treasure. And I won't make sure nobody will know. That's what you have to do with the Word of God. It's a treasure in your heart. And you have to guard it. You don't want nobody to steal it. Because Satan, you have to guard it. You have to keep. You have to do everything you can to make sure, you know, Satan don't come around and defraud you, you know. You must treasure that portion of the word. Psalm 119:12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. See, teach me thy decrees. Bless, you know, God, teach me your word, your decrees. So that's another thing that you need to have a kind of a frame of mind. You know, you need to be willing to learn. You come to church, the pastor's preaching, you need to be willing to let that word come into your heart. And I want to say much more than that. You have to let him become your teacher. I mean, it's the pastor talking, but it's God teaching you. And you need to allow God to teach you. And let's see, 12. What is my 13? Oh, that was 13. No, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. See, he should declare, not so much openly to everybody, but you need to declare the word of God to yourself, to your own heart. You need to speak the word. The word is life unto you. Now, it's not only to come to church and listen and go here and go here. After you take that treasure, you need to declare what God has done for you. To you. If you're going to overcome Satan, you better declare his word. So don't leave and forget what you just heard. I know the whole sermon is not only for you. God knows what you need. But you must treasure that portion that you get. You know, and declare it. You know, declare it to the top of your lung. I don't got to go right to a mountain and say, thank you, Lord, because you have done this for me. And done this for me. Declare. You know, don't be a secret. You know, mainly, you know, young people, you go to school and you don't want to look like a weird guy. But look at how he dresses and look at how he looks. He's like one of those Quakers from the old-fashioned antique. Look at that girl, that hair and that dress. I mean, what's wrong? You know, and I know we like to feed. But you know, you're going to have to declare what is in your heart. The way you dress, the way you move, the way you converse, the way you talk. See? It doesn't matter. People are going to judge you, but you are judging them. We're going to see that in a minute. So let your lips declare what God has done for you. The judgment is in thy mouth. Now, the judgment that he's talking about here, it is not that you're going around judging people. But you know, when you act the way you're supposed to act like a Christian, anybody around you that is not feels uncomfortable. But you're not judging them. But you know who's judging? Your life. Christ in you and the way you live will judge others. See? And then you might have an opportunity to present the gospel. But that's not only them, but the same word of God is judging you. And as you judge yourself with the word of God, people feel so uncomfortable that they are not, you know, living the kind of a life. So that's what he means. In my lip, I declare all the judgments of that mouth. You know, my friend, let me tell you another thing here quickly. But the Bible says that we are witnesses unto him. In Samaria, he says, in Judea, and until the end of the world. You tell me, but I don't have any missionary experience, and I'm not a missionary, I'm not a pastor, but, you know, I'm just a kid, you know. But you know the purpose that God saved you? So you can tell the judgments of God to the world. I heard something that says, he chose a nobody to tell everybody that somebody cleaned me up, filled me up, and took me out of the world. So listen, you are called to testify of the goodness of God. How are you going to do that? Every day that you walk to school, you walk to work, everywhere you go, you know, God wants to express himself through you. He wants to manifest himself through you. Because that is his purpose. God's purpose is him in flesh and bones already. Flesh in another body. So the world will know that he's God.
Yes, sir.
But what flesh is going to use? What body? Your body. So you need to go and testify. You say, but I don't have nothing to testify about. Well, if you see an accident, right? And the police come and tell you, what did you saw? What? You testify to him exactly. But when you come to church and you hear the word and you hear your pastor and you do all these things, can you testify about the goodness of God? What God has done to you? That's testifying to the whole world, to the people, that God is alive and God is well. So don't tell me that you don't have a mission field. Don't tell me that you're not a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor. You are called, and your purpose is to show the world that God is alive and well.
Amen.
Where?
Yes,
not in our church, in your body. Because when you leave this church, this is just a building.
Amen.
You are the chosen. You are the body. You are the church of God.
Amen.
To show the word to the world. So you don't have to have money and you don't have to go too far. You know, start in your neighborhood. Start with your friends. All you have to do is live the life that the gospel being preached to you through your pastor. That's all you have to do. 15 and 16. And I'm almost done here. And there's, I got ahead of me, but 119:14 says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony. And this is what I told you about. You are a testimony.
Yeah.
See? As much as in all riches, more, you cannot even put a dollar amount on this. You know, you are rich beyond the word of God. I have rejoiced in the way of my testimony. Okay, the 115, 119:15 says, and I will meditate on thy precept. That's every day. And I have respect unto thy ways. See, David's saying, you want to lead this kind of life? Have respect. Reverential respect for God and for your other ones. Respect. Honor God. Honor his word. Honor his people. But he also says, Meditate, day and night. When you get up in the morning, when you're asleep. You want to keep this kind of life, meditate. See, study the precepts. Encourage yourself, you know. Sorry to say, but in this message, I see a lot of people that are down and out. I don't know why. You know, I encourage myself with his word every morning. I'm not depressed. I'm not pressed. I'm not out. Why? Because I encourage myself with the word of God. And that's what David used to do when he was fighting the army and Saul was after him. He will do that. See? So you don't have to be around, you know, like you out, down and out, depressed. No. Just go ahead and meditate in his precepts. Encourage yourself. Encourage your brothers. Encourage somebody else. See? 16 says, and I will delight myself in the status. I will not forget thy Lord. See, delight himself in the word. Delight himself in the... I wish people would just read this. You know, if you delight yourself in the word, you come to where the word is being preached. Ain't it? You're not going to get this or there, you know. I mean, you can listen at tape. We should listen at tape. We should read our Bible. But you're not going to get... This is fresh manna from heaven. You don't get... This is only for selected preachers. God will give him that. Every time our brother meditates and prepares for preaching, he gets this new manna from heaven. So it can feed you when you are hungry for the word, to feed you with the manna. I don't know. I don't understand. Let's leave it there. Because that's not, today is not to solve that problem, maybe some other day. To say, I need to concentrate on young people. So, 16, delight yourself in the Lord. Any place, anytime, anywhere. Delight yourself on the Lord. Why will people want to come to a church that has a long face and people are bitter and people are mad and sad? Delight yourself in the Lord in your walk. Have a happy life. Be happy. Choose to be happy. Why? And you can do that by the word of God. Let the word of God, change your whole being. It will. And we people see, you say, I don't understand. Look at all the chaos and you're happy. Why are you so happy? Well, then you have a chance to tell them. Why? Because God lives in me. Exalt God. And never forget what he has done for you. So, young people, if you attend to my word, that's what God says. If you attend to the word that you heard tonight, and get impurity away, cleanse yourself, you will have victory. Amen. I promise you, because the word promised that. Amen. Keep yourself holy. Amen. Clean is the message of tonight. Stand up. I was winding down, slowly winding down. Thank you for your attention, your people. I thank you for the effort that you made. When I was your age and even younger, I loved to go to church. I don't know why. That was God putting me. I didn't know what was going on, but I loved to hear the preaching and the testimony. I used to go to church with my grandmother because my dad and my mom in those days, they didn't go to church. But I tell you, my grandmother dragged me and dragged all three of us and called a friend and threw us in back of a truck, and here we go to church. My grandmother must have been about 60, so she could do it. But she was the one that had to take this responsibility, because mom and dad wasn't. I mean, they came in later on and they dedicated their life and they died, in good standing with God. But in the meantime, it was my grandmother that taught me everything that I know, the stories, took me to church. So if you don't find nobody to take you to church, adopt me as your grandfather, I take you to church. I bring you to church. Because it's that important. You guys need to realize the time that we are living, this is an imperative. This is so important that we do what we heard tonight. We don't have much time left. The Bible said that God had to do a quick work. I've been in this for 30, 40 years. That wasn't quick. Maybe because I was stubborn or something, I don't know, because I was hard-headed, I don't know, probably all those things. But young people, God is going to do a quick word. Things are coming so close to an end that God don't have 40 years for you. God don't even have 20 years for you. He might have to do your work in 5 years. From the point that you receive this cup and get the Holy Ghost, it's going to be so quick that in 3 years, suddenly you are in my, wow. It took me 40 years to get here because God is going to do a quick work. Amen. Allow God to do that. Yes, allow God to do that because he promised he will do a quick work. So at least you can say, I'm so glad I don't have to wait 30 years or 40 years to bring me to this point. I wish I was you. It was that quick because the things I did, you didn't even have to worry about living. I hope you do live to 40, 50, 70. I mean, I don't know. Things are going so fast. You take a young boy, girl, you come to the service, you receive the Holy Ghost in 3 years. She knows most of the Bible and the message that I know, that it took me 30 years to know. She knows, and he knows more about God than me. That's how quick it's going to be. So when you see these young people kind of accelerating and showing you what you should have done 30 years ago, where we should be, you want to see them. Because this is the next generation, that's it. They are the ones that are going to carry, if God's church, they are going to carry, and they have to be quick. Things are going too fast right now. And you know what Peter says? The Lord told him, a child will lead you. Some of you guys are going to lead us. I'm getting older. You're going to have to bring me through, lead me to church, because I probably won't be able to walk that fast anymore. Whatever. But you are the one, the next generation, that is, if we have time, you're going to lead us. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to end, but I'm looking forward for you to start. Because I know when you get started, it's the end. You will never be where you are today, tomorrow. And that's fascinating, if you think about it, that you're going to change from day to day to day. See, it took me years to years to years, knucklehead as I am, to learn. But you guys are going to have a mind. God's going to have a Christ. And God will do that work in you. And I'm looking forward to see you guys serving the Lord. I will rejoice with you guys. In fact, I rejoice today with them. I'm glad that they came and took part in the service. You should do it all the time anyway. You was a blessing to me. Amen. And you start preaching and I stop. And you don't have to hear me again. Anyway, I don't promise you that. I will not promise you that, but some of you probably God will choose for that. Anyway, so let us pray. Father, you are such an awesome God. You are so lovely. You are so beautiful. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring about us. Father, who are we? But you care for each one of us, Father. Father, and we love you, Father, because you are our Father, and you want the best for your children, Father. And I thank you because you protect us and you keep us, Father. You provide for us spiritually, physically, Lord. We thank you. I don't have word to express the joy that is in my heart, Father, to be able to stand here at my age and still testify on the goodness of God. It is a joy. And I'm rejoicing tonight with the young people that they will have the same joy, Father, to testify to the world, to the neighbor, as the word says, about the goodness of God. Because you are good. God is good and faithful and truth. We thank you, Lord, for this church. Because in this church, Father, you have vindicated your word. We're not wasting our time. You vindicate your word every time we come to church. This is a church that we preach and we hear the sound gospel of peace. I thank you because you meet us every time we come. And you fulfill your promises. I'm grateful, Father. And don't let me never forget your goodness and your testimony. Let it be in my lips. Let it be all the time. God is good all the time. Lord, bless these young people, Father, and I hope that they can take these broken words, Father, but you, with the Holy Ghost, make it. You know what they have needed, and you know how you're going to feed them, and you know how you're going to deal with them. Father, I'm just a voice standing here, testifying that you started the work and you will finish it. All you want is people that will surrender to you, yield to you with all our hearts. Father, completely, 100% committed, responsible. That's all you want. We don't need wishy-washy. We don't need halfways. I don't want to be that. I want to go all the way. And I know that you have provided a way for that. We love you and we thank you. May the grace of God and the mercies tonight, and the word that we have heard, releases healing for those that need healing. That this word will release any situation that needs attention. Tonight, the word of God will release the power, Father, for whatever situation we find ourselves. Just give us, Father, that faith. So we release healing for the people. We release anything that they have what they need tonight. All that can be found in the word. The solution to our problem is God. And we are so thankful. Because we don't have to wander around. We have made our minds who we are going to serve. Like Joshua said, me and my house, we serve the Lord. There's no moving from that. The angel told Joshua, don't look to the left and don't go to the right. Stay in the middle of the road. The middle of the road is not going to intellectualism or formalism, or don't go to politics, but now go to fanatism, to feelings, and you know, all this other stuff. Even though we believe in the Holy Ghost fall, we believe, Father, in responding. But we need to maintain ourselves in the middle of the road. That's where the truth, that's where the sound gospel, that is where the vindication of God is. And I'm glad that this is a middle of the road church. And I thank you. But if anybody can come, any weary, tired can come and sit down and rest and have peace. That's the kind of church that I want to be. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. And I'm sorry for keeping them so long, Father. But I never grow tired to listen to you. One of these days we will have 1,000 years and a millennium and infinity to talk all we want and hear all we want. That will be the day. Love you, Lord. Thank you. Bless our pastor and Jennifer, Lord, our sister. This is not an easy task. I don't even want it. But give them strength, Father. Give them health. Give them energy. Give them what they have need so we can continue until you call us home. Continue testifying of what you have done. So, Father, I appreciate you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, I ask all these things. Amen. Thank you, folks. Holiness. If that's what you want, what I need. That makes sense to you now. Holiness is what you want from me. That's all. My mind, the mind of Christ, transformed. Take my will, conformed to your. If that's your prayer tonight, let's sing it again. Righteousness, righteousness is what I look for. Just follow me, don't forget. Okay, I will follow you as soon as I can. I'm loved right now. Go ahead, help me.